You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. The cost of living is a major issue that's a huge concern to most Americans. And for senior citizens on fixed incomes, rising costs along with the challenges of declining health can have severe consequences. Here in the Rogue Valley, an organization called Rebuilding Together offers home modifications with safety installations to help senior residents remain in their homes as they age. Joining me in the studio to tell us more is Kendall Kaplan, the Executive Director of Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley. Welcome, Kendall.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about the work you do.
Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley was born out of a need that is increasing, unfortunately. There are older adults with disabilities living on a low income, often in rural areas, who would love to stay in their home for as long as possible for many reasons and aren't able to because of a fall that was completely avoidable. And our organization knows that if we install equipment, durable medical equipment, wheelchair ramps, grab bars, transfer poles, things like that, we can avoid those falls and make sure that they stay home as long as they want to.
Okay, and how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for about 5 years. Rebuilding Together has been around since 2012.
Okay, tell me a little bit about you. How did you get into this work?
Yeah, I got into this work because I worked for another nonprofit in the area that was doing something different. And we were really designed to help people who had already fallen, people who are already in distress, who were probably going to lose their home, people who are looking at spend down, how can I get rid of all my assets so that I can afford to live in assisted living or skilled nursing? And I knew that I wanted to do something to help make sure that for some people that didn't happen. And Rebuilding Together is relatively small. They found me, essentially, and we kind of decided that we might be able to grow this thing and really do something.
Okay, so how many are part of your team?
It's just me, and I have an operations manager as well who's actually out of Costa Rica, but he's much more tech savvy than me, so he can do everything from afar.
Okay, so how many people can you help?
Yes, last year we helped 125 seniors. And that doesn't include the ramps that we built. That's just our durable medical equipment. This year, there's a little bit of a hold because of the changes in HUD funding and Medicaid funding. But we've helped 50 seniors so far this year.
So tell me how the government shutdown has affected your business.
Yeah, the problem is that Medicaid funding is largely affected by how much money is sent over to the state's Medicaid programs to spend on certain things. And then insurance agencies are told what they are supposed to offer as a CCO, which is a community care organization. When those things are determined, they reach out to organizations to help fulfill those needs. This year was supposed to be climate, housing, and nutrition. Climate is not exactly what it sounds like. It's a lot of portable mini fridges and things like the fans that go in windows, things like that, to make sure that people are safe in homes in the heat and their medications are safe. And then also housing is durable medical equipment. So we thought that that was going to be a big thing for us, a big deal, in order to be able to actually help a lot more people than we helped before. And that funding was essentially put on hold, not because it wasn't there, but because a lot of the states didn't actually know how to deploy the money. So the rules were not clear. And everything just halted. It's unfortunate.
Okay, so what do you do that makes homes safer for seniors?
We install durable medical equipment. Oftentimes it's called low cost, high impact. We know that falls are the leading cause of death and hospitalization in older adults and those with disabilities. So we've seen an incredible impact in being able to install one or two grab bars in a bathroom, maybe a transfer pole in a living room. These are things that are not incredibly difficult to do or expensive, but they ensure that the person that's navigating the home doesn't fall and end up in the hospital.
Okay, and so you're installing these in the homes. What's the cost to the person who lives there?
As an organization, we don't charge any of our clients. We're entirely dependent on grants and donations. Almost all of our clients are low income. These are people who feel entirely forgotten by the community and by the system. Oftentimes, they don't leave their house at all. And that's because they don't feel safe getting out of the house, or they don't feel safe getting back in, or they generally just don't navigate around the home that much at all. And these are people who can't afford much more than the food that they need to eat and would definitely not be able to afford having equipment installed in their house.
So these are people who live in their own homes or multifamily homes, or do you do this for elderly citizens that live in rentals?
Yeah, it depends on the funding. Yeah. HUD funding is really, really specific about homeownership. We have written a few grants that we call Fill the Gap grants that are designed to help people who don't own their home, but they own the trailer, but they don't own the land. Sometimes that will happen. There's a lot of grants that are, I don't know, not written for necessarily what is realistic. They want people to be very, very low income, below the annual median income for the area. They also want them to own the trailer that they live in and the land that that trailer sits on. And oftentimes that's just not doable.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
If they're very, very low income, how are they owning the land and the home?
What world would they have had the money to do that? Exactly. So it makes you wonder who these funds are written for, and that's something we're navigating all the time.
Okay, so that's very strange. Well,
yeah.
you're telling me that the people who qualify for your services have to be below the median income?
Not necessarily. It depends on the funding that we're using.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a professional grant writer. I write grants to local foundations, state foundations, and bigger than that. When funds come in, we serve anybody they will let us serve. So if we're in a situation where we only have local funding and they only want it to be people over the age of 62 who own their house and live in Jackson County, then that's who we're serving. But as often as possible, we try to help as many people as we can. It just depends.
So are some of your funders that restrictive?
Yes. And almost all of the restrictive funds are state mandated funding.
Hmm. Okay. So who are some of your funders?
We work with the Oregon Community Foundation a lot. They're a big supporter of ours. We also work with the state, HUD, and CDBG-type funding. We have worked with Carrico Foundation, JTMF Foundation, Carpenter Foundation. There's a lot of local support for what we do, United Way, people
okay.
like that.
And so every day you're out there helping people.
Yeah, we try.
And so far, it's you said 125. Is that this year or is that overall?
125 was 2024. 2025 so far is 50 people, and we have 40 jobs in progress right now.
Okay, and so is there a waiting list?
Yes, unfortunately. there is a waiting list. It's mostly durable medical equipment. That's why I keep writing grants and looking for funding. There's always going to be a need, unfortunately, for people. But that's something that also keeps us going. If there was a lack of applicants, if we were having to go out and solicit people to apply because we had grants, we'd have to really wonder if we were doing the right thing. But the fact that we have a waiting list of people that need these services and we're just looking for the funding means the need is there and we have to rise to meet it.
And these people can't wait. I mean, a slip and fall could put someone in the hospital or worse.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it affects the whole community. I think one of the things that comes up a lot is people will say, you know, my parents aren't elderly yet, or I'm not elderly yet. So I don't really even have a foundation to understand what you're talking about. But the truth is that this affects the mental health of seniors. It affects their ability to go into the community and be a part of the community. These are people that are working as ushers at your favorite theater. These are people who won't have the ability to pass their home down for generations. This affects generational wealth. It affects community partnerships. I mean, I could go on and on, but it's a huge deal to keep people in their homes.
My guest is Kendall Kaplan. She's the executive director of Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley. So, Kendall, can you give me an example of how you've helped an elderly resident remain in their home here in the Rogue Valley?
Yeah, we had somebody that we helped who... We were referred to them by one of the local fire districts because they were a frequent faller. And we went into her house. She had called 911 five times in the last 3 months just to be picked up off the floor. This wasn't somebody who was having regular heart attacks. You know, she was falling at home. And we went in and installed grab bars. And the fire department, after about, I think they said 5 or 6 months, they actually called her to ask how she was doing because they were so used to hearing from her.
Yeah,
she had just
concerned.
Stopped calling. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I'm great. I'm volunteering at my local church and I volunteer at the food bank. And she's just living her life now.
So it creates more mobility for her
and
more stability for her.
Yeah.
Just by installing these different safety devices in her home.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that she's not, this isn't necessarily a medical treatment. So if she has foot drop or something where she's still tripping, it doesn't mean she's not at risk of falling, but she's able to catch herself on a grab bar and then take herself to her medical appointment where she can discuss that. But she's not falling to the point that she has to call EMS.
So tell me about some of the home modifications that you have to make in order to make sure that seniors are mobile in their own homes.
We use what's called CAPS certification. It's Certified Aging in Place Specialist. And the way I usually describe it is our contractors are certified in what kind of wall could sustain a grab bar and watching somebody navigate their home to see that they need one. So it's both those things at once. They're not occupational therapists, but they know enough to see, okay, I can see that you're having a hard time when you get off of the toilet or get out of the bathtub or something. They kind of simulate those things. So grab bars is the biggest thing that we do. We do railings in the hallways. We do build custom wood wheelchair ramps as well. And we'll do other things like toilet risers and things like that, bed railings.
So you send someone into the home and they actually help them navigate their home so that they can then identify areas where they can be more helpful.
Yeah, a CAPS-trained contractor will typically go into someone's home and say, I would love to see you get into your Lazy Boy chair and then get out of it. Let me see what that looks like. I'd love to see you sit down on this toilet seat and then stand up, get into the bathtub and get out of it. And it's very interesting to see because there are people who will say, oh, yeah, sometimes my toe catches right here, but it's no big deal. And then, of course, it'll happen while the contractor is there and he'll go, well, I think we'll go ahead and just put a grab bar right there then so that so you don't fall.
So how do residents on fixed incomes, how do they afford any of these services? I know you said that they're free, but I'm kind of skeptical. I don't know if anything's really free.
Yeah.
So let's just take me through a scenario. They call you up and you send out a CAPS. A certified specialist, and they navigate the person through their day, and they figure out all the various different places where they need to install various different devices. None of that has any cost to the person living in that home.
No. In fact, I tell people who call us all the time, if you hear from someone who says they're rebuilding together for some reason and they're asking you for money, it's not us. We do not do that ever. If somebody is able to pay for the services and they want to, typically what I'll do is I'll just connect them to the contractor and they do that on their own. That's not part of the nonprofit work.
How did the contractors get paid?
The contractors get paid through the grants. The grants, the funding, Medicaid. We are contracted with All Care and Jackson Care Connect for HRSN services, so the funders.
So you're the intermediary between the contractor and the person that needs the help.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially we're saying to the funders that we're going to have people apply who need the help. We vet the contractors. We secure the materials. We do any PR that's needed, if it's needed, and we basically put all of that together. And we make sure that it goes well. You know, there's a lot of, like, CCOs who have to offer this type of work, and they don't want to have to actually manage contractors, you know, they're insurance agencies. So they prefer to work with organizations like this who will do all of that work for them.
Okay, so you're doing all the vetting because that's a safety issue as well.
Yeah.
Contractors going into someone's home and you know, so you take care of all that.
Yes, yeah, we're on the contractor's insurance, they're on our insurance, and there's an agreement that they sign with us. Yeah.
How do senior citizens that need help, how do they know about you?
Yeah, it's a good question because for a long time as an executive director, to be honest with you, I didn't advertise it at all because our wait list was so long. I just didn't want to not be able to fulfill the need or the expectation of the community. So the best way to know about us now, Google is really good. Hopefully talk to your friends and family. Hopefully somebody knows about us.
Okay.
Well, on Facebook.
Well, we are running out of time, but what's your website?
Our website is rbtrv.org.
RBT.
Mm-hmm.
RV.
Rebuilding Together.
Rogue Valley.
Yep.
They're rbtrv.org.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Kendall.
Thank you very much.